give us the answer to our geo quiz. What is it?
The answer is that the museum is in Jerusalem, first of all, near the president's residence, and near the Jerusalem Theater in the Palmach Street, number 2.
And to make it simple, Jerusalem is the answer to the quiz. And this is where these exquisite clocks went missing 25 years ago. You worked for the museum then, didn't you?
Yes.
So 25 years ago, 106 timepieces in all, worth millions of dollars, I guess even more now, disappeared. Can you tell us how the theft happened?
It was between the night of Friday and Saturday, probably midnight. Somebody came. Now we know that it was only one person, but at the time the concept was, because it was so complicated, that they thought many years that a few thieves came in. But now we know that it was only Naaman dealer, one person. It
one
was
man.
One-man job. We had windows with iron bars, and he widened the opening, and he was a very small person, very slim. And then he just broke the glass, but he did it quietly with a very Japanese knife, so it was not broken and made noise. And then in 2 minutes he was in the gallery, and he walked very quietly. At the time there was the idiotic habit not to open the doors. Everything was closed. After the museum was closed, we used to close the doors. So he could work very quietly. He was clever and he was sophisticated, you know, and took only the best, very best pieces. Nobody was knew about it. And only after his death, his wife started to get rid of this precious collection. And then she made the mistakes, of course.
Now, women,
during his life, 25 years, nobody, there was not a sign, there was not a link, nothing. Nobody could really imagine where all these watches disappeared. It was, you know, swollen in the ground.
Now, you said watches. These are both watches and clocks. Some of them,
watches
in fact,
and clocks, and also some oil paintings and some very important Book of Hours manuscripts.
Mm-hmm. So he made a deathbed confession to the woman who was his wife, who's now his widow. And then she tried to sell the timepieces?
Yes, she tried. Now we know that she tried to sell them in a big auction house, Antiquorium, which is the biggest auction house for watches and clocks. But when she started to describe the pieces, the expert understood that this belongs to our museum, and this is what I understood. He told her to contribute it or to donate it back or to return it, is the right word, to the museum. And then she found here a young lawyer in Tel Aviv, and she called me, and she said, I think that maybe we have some of your watches. So I went with my chairman to Tel Aviv, and she already prepared an agreement. So I was sure that really she knew that this is our watches, but still we wanted to identify them. So the next day, we came again to Tel Aviv. She brought the watches in dirty carton boxes, and I started to open them one after the other, and I saw the numbers, and I recognized them according to my catalog and to my index cards. And then she asked for money. She asked for a big sum of money, the lawyer for her client, and we did not agree. But we had to pay something because we wanted very much to take them. So we did.
How much did you have to pay?
$30,000. She asked for $500,000, and then, but she understood that, you know, she cannot keep them anymore because she understood that they belong to the museum, and she cannot make argue too much about the stolen merchandise. But still, she didn't give up, you know, her wish to get some money for me.
Ms. Hassan, what was it like for you, though, to see these timepieces, these watches and clocks after 25 years?
I was terribly excited when I saw the Marie Antoinette, which is the most important watch that was ever made in the world.
Yeah, tell us about this one. It was made for Marie Antoinette.
It was made for Marie Antoinette when she was still a queen, and it took about 40 years to finish it up by Breguet, Abraham Louis Breguet, who was really the watchman, and he was really a scientist. This watch contains more than 18 functions. A very clever watch. Even today, you know, they imitate some of the functions because it was so advanced for its time. It's a little. They described it as this is the Mona Lisa of horology, of the watchmaking.
The Mona Lisa of watchmaking. Give us one thing that it would do.
It does a lot of functions, not only one. First of all, it's a perpetual, and this was something wonderful because until the perpetual was invented, they used watches with keys, you know, that they have to wind them, but this is a perpetual.
So this was like a self-winding watch.
Exactly. And this is really, it was a big invention at the time. It has everything, the calendar of the year, time, minutes. It has a repeater, it has a thermometer, etc. And it is a skeleton one. He decided to leave it like a skeleton so you can see through it all the mechanism.
And so these were in pretty good shape, though? I mean, because...
Yes, because probably he did not dare to, you know, to take it out of the country. So it was for maybe 25 years, sometime in one of the safes that he rented. And the last maybe years were in a storage in Ramle. Because he did all this job all by himself, nobody was, you know, nobody knew about it. Nobody could even, you know, say or speak against him. And he was faking so many passports and photographs. When the police, this is what they said, when they came to him 25 years ago, he said, "I was not in Israel at the time of the theft." Because he faked the stamp, you know, which you get on your passport when you leave the country.
He was a very clever man.
Very clever. It's unfortunately that all his, you know, sechel, all his brain went for things like this and not invented. Otherwise, he could have been a brilliant scientist.
Yeah, well, I imagine still you must take heart in the fact that it's another case cracked.
Yes, but not completely, because he kept many safe all around the world. In Holland, he has, in France, in America, they found many pieces. Police came to her house. She lived in Los Angeles, his widow, and they came into her house early in the morning, and they found many pieces and paintings. The lawyer returned about 40 pieces. Another 13 pieces showed up in her house and in one of his safes. And there is another one which must be revealed, and maybe more watches will be found, we hope.
Now, I know that there are some timepieces that are still around the world, some in Holland, some in Los Angeles. In fact, in the United States, I know you're trying to get those back. But in the meantime, with those that are now in your possession, once again, after 25 years, what are you going to be doing with them?
We are going to renew all the exhibition in 2 months' time. Around the end of the January, we will have a new exhibition of old Breguet watches and, of course, the Marie Antoinette will be the centerpiece. So we are now preparing a small catalog and working on the design of the exhibition.
Did you ever think this was going to happen?
No, never. I lost hope. I never believed that they will be found again after 25 years. I thought that they have gone and somebody hides them very good in one of his depots, or maybe they are in one of the Arab countries, and it's finished. So it was a great surprise and a big shock and to find half of them. I feel very happy to see them again, especially the Marie Antoinette, as I told you, that it is really a very important piece that we have back.
All right. Rachel Hassan, Museum Artistic Director at the L.A. Meyer Memorial Museum for Islamic Art, where a major heist that happened 25 years ago has now been resolved, and at least some of the timepieces, the watches, the clocks that were stolen then have been returned. Nice to speak with you.
Thank you so much.